This is Monty in the Morning on 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic. Monty and Jake are live and local every morning on your drive to work. Find the show on Twitter and Instagram at The Monty Show. Now it's time for Monty in the Morning on 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic and 1580thefanatic.com.
What's up, 6 o'clock Wednesday morning? Yeah, buddy, how about a short work week? We are back in full effect, and looky here. Jake back in the hizzy.
Let's go.
What's up, 25-year-old?
What's up?
Good to have you back. Good to be back with you. And what a very, very busy weekend of sports. Like a great Christmas of basketball, by the way, which we're going to get to. I actually thought Christmas night basketball was as good as I can remember it in recent times, Jake.
Yeah, I thought the matchup completely lived up to it. I thought my concerns going into the Laker-Warrior matchup were that, you know, this could get into a situation where the Warriors were going to run away with this by 20, right? I mean, the Lakers are not a team who are beyond that. You know, every team loses by 20 at some point, and to me, this felt like that matchup. But I was completely wrong about that. The Warriors clearly looked past the Lakers. They clearly were not ready mentally to face the switch everything defense that the Lakers bring to the table. And I thought the Lakers did a great job of executing, and the fact that they got 53 points from their bench really is impressive from them in that matchup.
Yeah, and Zubats, I thought, gave the Lakers a real boost. Obviously, the story coming out of last night was LeBron James with this groin strain that he suffered. The Lakers not only defended the lead, it got all the way down to 3 points, but they blew that lead back up to 21 at one point without LeBron James. So LeBron's getting an MRI today. We'll keep you up to date on that. Don't forget Suns in Magic in Orlando tonight at 5. How about the 7-game homestand coming up? Over 12 days for the Suns. It's going to be Thunder, Nuggets, Warriors, Sixers, Clips, Hornets, and Kings over the next 2 weeks after they wrap up this trip in Orlando. So a pretty big stretch of games coming. That's going to be a really difficult homestand.
That may be, not to be negative Nancy, but that may be quite a few losses coming their way. I like where they're at as a team. I think there's been a lot of improvement. I think Ayton's come back a little bit since he went through that kind of, I don't even know what to call it, almost just like a downturn sort of, but I think he's kind of come back out of that now.
Yes.
They're playing well, but at the same time, these are the talented teams in the NBA. These are the teams that will show you where you're at. They will allow you to evaluate, and so we'll see where the Suns truly are at on this homestand.
And by the way, Santa Monty gave us tickets to the Golden State game. Yeah, Santa was pretty good. By the way, we did see Elf. We actually, as a family, sat down on Saturday night and watched Elf. And that was a damn good movie, I must say. I've never seen it. I hadn't even seen parts of Elf.
Oh, my God!
I know. It's offensive. But I loved Elf. It was hysterical. Were you impressed that I actually watched it?
Yeah, I was. I was surprised.
You were?
Yeah, I was surprised because you're not a big retro movie guy. Elf was 2003, right?
Already. You know, my wife and I figured out last night. So my wife makes this unbelievable dinner for us. Like, my wife's a great homemaker. Like, she decorates her house. Like, she does all this great stuff. So she makes this unbelievable turkey feast. Sweet potatoes. She made this great rice. We had green beans and almonds. Like, just a really good Christmas dinner. We sit down at the table, and I said to my wife, you know, we've been together for 20 Christmases now. This is our 20th Christmas together. That's unbelievable.
You will complete me.
Oh, no question about it. No question about it. And obviously, you know, Jake is my son, so he ruins everything on Christmas.
Dad!
Okay. Jake is on fire this morning. Dad! Anyway,
Dad!
Yeah, buddy, we had a great Christmas. Best gift that you got, Jake, on Christmas.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say I made out with shoes this Christmas. I've got the shoe stockpile is definitely at an all-time high.
Oh, so you got more? I thought you meant you actually, like, physically made out with shoes.
No, that sorry, that was you must have misinterpreted what I was saying there. But anyway, the point is I got AirPods. I don't know, do y'all know what AirPods are? You have AirPods.
Yes.
And I wore the AirPods a couple times this weekend and they're actually pretty comfortable.
Who gave you AirPods?
I don't know. Who would that be?
Your parents. Santa gave Jake AirPods.
Santa Monty.
You know. Yeah. I mean it's amazing. Yeah, AirPods are game changers. That's why, listen, if you are a Droid user, you can use AirPods. Now, you should get an iPhone just so that you can have, like, your manhood back. But if you don't have an iPhone, you can still use AirPods. I think they're awesome. I love my AirPods. My best gift was probably I got a lift kit for my truck. I just bought a Toyota Tacoma about a year ago, and it is bone stock right now. I got to change that, by the way. But... Jake got me a lift kit,
and your Ultra Boost.
Yes, I got Adidas Ultra Boost, which if you follow me on Twitter and Instagram, you can see the Monty Show, MONTY, the Monty Show on Twitter and Instagram. You can see that I have Ultra Boost on today, and Jake being a complete jerk this morning about my inability to throw paper balls into a garbage can, which is fine. Absolutely fine. Where are you? I'd love to know your best gift that you got for Christmas. 888-368-1580. 888-368-1580. You can text us on that number. The Fanatic text line is always lit. By the way, are you working today? Are you off today? What's your story? Jake and I clearly are the dregs of the world because we are working. We were up at 3 o'clock this morning. And here we are on Monty in the Morning talking about the Arizona Cardinals. 888-368-1580 to hit us on the Fanatic text line. You know the Cardinals lost to the Rams 31-9. They close out the season mercifully at Seattle on Sunday. Another really rough performance for Josh Rosen. 12 of 23, 87 yards, 4 sacks. He did run the ball well, which I thought was a pleasant surprise because Josh has been a little reticent to run, but 4 for 49 was pretty good. Larry Fitzgerald was probably the highlight of the day. The touchdown pass to David Johnson was pretty cool. Other than that, there wasn't much. Did you see that Ndamukong Suh poked Larry Fitzgerald in the eye?
Yeah, you tweeted that out, and I just thought, you know, it really solidifies him, in my opinion, as one of the dirtiest players in the league. And it kind of, that narrative about Ndamukong Suh had kind of taken a chill pill for a little while. We haven't really seen him stepping on people or doing dirty things in the pile or poking Larry's eyes out. We hadn't seen that from
Suh. Or poking Larry's eyes out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he did that. It's clearly intentional. If you go on Twitter, you can see the video. It's not as though his hand, what really stands out to me is it's not as though his hand is just in Larry's face for like a half a tick, right?
Oh, no, it's an
effort.
It's
like in there, and he continues to drive his finger into his eye, and it's kind of shocking. This is the kind of thing you don't expect to happen on a football field until it happens, and you're like, what the hell are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Like, what
it's
is your
shocking.
Intention there?
It is, it's a little alarming. I mean, seriously, it is one of those things where you look at it and you're like, what is going on? And what is going on, truth be told, what is going on is that Ndamukong Suh is a dirty player. If you're going to go after Larry Fitzgerald, if that's your groove, you're kind of an a-hole. Larry's about,
go f- yourself.
Yeah, Larry's about the most professional and well-liked guy in the NFL. And not that Larry Fitzgerald's perfect or an angel because he's not, but if you're going after Larry Fitzgerald to the point where you're standing next to him and you reach over and poke him in the eye, like you're an a-hole. Like, that's just who you are. So I retweeted that. It's on the 1580 The Fanatic Twitter feed, which is just 1580 The Fanatic, or you can find it on my Twitter feed, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. I think probably the biggest story for the Cardinals is they signed DJ Swearinger, late of the Washington Redskins, who got cut by the Redskins over the weekend because he questioned the defensive coordinator after Sunday's loss. They cut him Sunday night. And he told the world he got cut on 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C. when they said, well, are you going to – he's literally doing his weekly radio hit. DJ Swearinger does a radio hit in Washington. And nobody knows he's been cut. And the radio host is like, well, are you worried about getting in trouble for being so bluntly honest? And Swearinger's like, yeah, I met with Jay Gruden and he cut me. Like right on the radio in Washington. It was fascinating. They didn't tell him why. And Swearinger was like, yeah, I didn't really need to know why. I knew why. And what did the Cardinals do? Absolutely sucked him right back up, and they can use him. They're only on the hook for his $2.4 million salary next year. He's a Pro Bowl alternate as a safety. This is a really good move.
Yeah, and he's been here before. I mean, this is not new territory for him, and I think this is the move that, you know, you as Cardinal fans can look to when you're talking about Steve Keim, and you can kind of understand his ability as a GM. This move is just... You know, this is an easy move. This is not a difficult, complicated thing to do. This is not, hey, I've got the first overall pick in the 2019 NFL draft, and I've got five different needs I need, so who am I going to pick?
Yeah.
This is, hey, you've been here 2 years ago. You came in and played 16 games for us when Tyrann Mathieu blew out his knee. You know our defense. You know what it's going to be. You know, let's come back. I'll sign you. You can be a playmaker next year. You know,
it's just a really smart football move.
Yeah.
And in a year where there haven't been very many smart football moves, I like this move a lot. And I give Steve Keim a lot of grief on this show. Nice job, Stevie. Way to go. Thanks for coming, by the way, because your ass is out on Black Monday, we hope. And if it's not, man, I'm telling you, a week from, less than a week to go. Black Monday is next Monday, the 31st. By the way, New Year's Eve, Jake and I will be working. Off on New Year's Day, but it's a great day to be on the radio.
Yep.
Literally, it is Black Monday in the NFL. So it is a significant deal. And as we talk Arizona Cardinal football here on Monty in the Morning at 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic, reports over the weekend from Peter King saying that Mike McCarthy and the Arizona Cardinals have mutual interests. And, of course, immediately after that, Mike McCarthy issues a statement saying he's not talking to anybody about a job where they currently have a coach. But I think we know how all of this works. And my question is, if you're already reaching out to Mike McCarthy, that means Steve Keim's job is safe. Because who else would be reaching out to McCarthy but the general manager?
Yeah, I mean, The hard part here is that we all know, and when I say we, I mean me, you, the fans, everybody on planet Earth knows that Steve Keim should be fired. But obviously Michael Bidwell isn't going to fire him. I mean, clearly, if you're, number one, you're signing guys, right? You're signing guys off waivers. Number two, you're allegedly interviewing head coaches or talking to head coaches, you know, just putting feelers out there. So Steve Keim already knows that he wants to get rid of Wilkes. He already knows who he wants to bring in. He already knows that it's not going to be Bruce Arians, so that means it's either going to be Urban Meyer or Mike McCarthy. So Mike McCarthy's going to be the lead candidate. And for me, I don't love that. I think Keim's got to go. I think Wilkes has to go with him. I think the coaching staff has to go with them. And you got to bring in a new wave of
you got to start over.
Yeah.
You got to start over. But Peter King's a pretty trusted voice amongst NFL sources. If Peter King says that the Arizona Cardinals and Mike McCarthy have mutual interest, I have a hard time believing that Steve Keim's going to get whacked. And on two fronts, that's really bad for us. One, well, the football team's going to suck for another year. Two, we're going to owe Mark Asher $20. Because we have a bet, remember, that if Steve Keim doesn't get fired, we owe him $20.
Dad!
Yeah, if he does get fired, he owes us breakfast burritos.
Oh, my God!
So let's hope he gets fired. Jake is 1580 Jake on Twitter, 1580 Jake. If you'd like to recommend any new drops for the show.
I get more action in a week than you've had your entire life.
Yeah, man. Jake is a baller. Check him out on Twitter and Instagram, 1580 Jake. I like Mike McCarthy as the next head coach of the Cardinals. But I only like him if he's hired by a new GM. I mean, the real issue is you can't hire a GM and tell him Mike McCarthy's your coach.
Yeah.
You can't do that. And this is the dysfunction that we talk about a lot with the Arizona Cardinals. Like, what is the good that comes from keeping Steve Keim? Somebody help me understand it.
I think he's keeping Steve Keim because it's comfortable for him. He knows Steve. They're very close. You know, so it's that relationship side of sports that often kills sports franchises. And we see it here in Arizona. And we see it across sports. You know, we're having the same conversation about the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. That conversation is happening over in New England. You know, but I'm gonna go ahead and go out on a limb and say that New England's not gonna wait 5 years too long to go ahead and tell, you know, Bill that he needs to retire, because they're not firing Bill Belichick. He'll retire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So here in Arizona, I just think at some point you have to make the decision that's best for your organization. And I don't think Bidwell is capable of doing that. I don't think that he has the bravado. He has the awareness to say, yeah, Steve, you've been here a while. We haven't really won anything of significance while you've been here, and we've made a lot of changes at the head coach position while you've been here. So we've done what you wanted to do, and it hasn't worked. So it's time for me to make a change. I mean, it really is that simple. It's business. Yet for Bidwell and Steve Keim, it's not business. It's best friends, and that's the problem.
Well, I think you're right. You hit the nail on the head when you said it's business. That's what the NFL is. It's a business. And, you know, listen, it's a mistake not to fire Steve Keim. I don't take, a man losing his job lightly. But this is the business that we're in. This is the business of the National Football League. Steve Keim's not won enough games, frankly. Steve Keim's not had enough quality draft picks. And this morning, what I'd love to hear from you, 888-368-1580, 888-368-1580 to hit us on the Fanatic text line. Do you want Steve Keim to keep his job? There's a lot of people in this town who would tell you, oh, he should get another year. Yeah, it's not Steve Keim's fault.
I would love to hear the why behind that.
I don't understand it. I really don't. And, you know, we're going to talk about LeBron James coming up here in about 5 minutes. He had a huge misstep. I mean, a huge misstep. The last probably 3 days, he has said a couple of things that are shocking. And maybe that's why karma tore his groin last night. I have no idea. But my point is, LeBron James gets away with a lot because the media wants a bro hug. The media wants that fist bump. I think there is something to that with Steve Keim. I think there are people in this town who are legitimately, I'm not going to say intimidated by the Arizona Cardinals, but believe, well, it's a National Football League. And if they don't like us, Well, what is there to fear? Can anybody make me the argument that Steve Keim's done his job? Is there anybody who can realistically sit here and say that Steve Keim has earned another year on the job? Is there anybody? No, there's not. That's why there's silence, because Steve Keim's not done his job. Steve Keim, frankly, has not done very much to improve the efforts and the opportunities of this football team to win games. And around the country, I can tell you, because I happen to work at the network of four letters, I can tell you.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I'm kind of a big deal. I can tell you that they're a laughingstock. The Arizona Cardinals are a laughingstock in the NFL. Every time somebody says, oh, well, where are you out of? And I'm like, I work in Phoenix. Man, the Cardinals are bad. Well, that's a bad team. And you know the next thing they almost always say? Well, Larry Fitzgerald, sure would love to see him on the Patriots. Almost everybody says, well, man, Larry, I'd love to see Larry on the Patriots. The Arizona Cardinals are a laughingstock in this country. They're not respected. Steve Keim's not respected. He's not looked at as one of the leaders in his field. And that in the NFL is what you have to do. It's the bottom line. Everybody wants to be Sean McVay, but it's hard to be Sean McVay. It's hard to be lauded as an elite guy at what you do, because you actually have to put the work in. You can't get DUIs. You can't blow multiple drafts after multiple drafts. You can't do that. You can't hire an abysmal head coach who clearly was not qualified to be a head coach in the NFL.
We came away with a win.
You can't do that. So I'm open to hearing your thoughts on it. 888-368-1580 to hit us on the Fanatic text line. LeBron James, only LeBron gets away with what he said over the weekend. and what he Instagrammed over the weekend. You'll hear it, and I'll tell you about it next. Monty in the Morning, 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic, Arizona's new home for CBS Sports Radio.
Monty ain't like those other guys.
Don't talk like one of them. You're not.
Monty talks sports the way you talk sports.
Money ball, high five.
Yeah.
The Monty Show is on 1580 The Fanatic right now.
Raymond got his hand on the ball, and I went to get the loose ball, and just overextended my groin, I guess. And you know, then I felt it coming down the court. I actually overextended again back on defense. So,
LeBron James right there. Monty right here, 1580, 99.3 The Fanatic, Arizona's new home for sports. Lakers win last night, 127-101 in a shocking, shocking blowout of the Golden State Warriors. Shocking blowout. LeBron injures his groin going after a basketball, and maybe that's karma. I want to talk about LeBron James and the things he said this weekend, because I think this is a pretty important discussion, and I know that a lot of people are sensitive about the things that make us uncomfortable. Maybe that's the right way to say it. People can be uncomfortable when you're not able to, you know, fully grasp a conversation. So watching The Shop, which is LeBron's show on HBO, and it's a good show. I would encourage you to watch it. I DVR it. I have a season pass to it. So I would encourage you to do that. LeBron on The Shop was talking to Todd Gurley. And if you don't know how The Shop works, it's LeBron, his partner in crime, Maverick Carter, and then a bunch of celebrities that just sit around and talk about everything. Nothing's off limits. It's a, you know, it's a no-holds-barred conversation. So this time he had Ice Cube, Jimmy Kimmel, Chris Bosh, and Todd Gurley. And Todd Gurley is talking about how the NFL is a cutthroat business. Todd Gurley, the running back of the Rams. And they were talking about the fact that if you're hurt, you could potentially lose your job in the NFL. And Todd Gurley said, yeah, your best ability is availability, which is something I think, Jake, what have we said that a dozen times on the show?
Yeah, so much, especially when we're talking Cardinals.
Yeah, not inflammatory, nothing of that nature.
That's just truth. It is
they're,
what it is.
They're just talking about the NFL. And then LeBron chimed in.
Man, in the NFL, they got a bunch of old, white men owning teams, and they got that slave mentality. And it's like, this is my team. You do what the fuck I tell y'all to do, or we get rid of y'all. Like, I mean, I'm so appreciative of our league, of our commissioner. Like, you know,
he works with the players,
right? Yeah, and he doesn't mind like us having the feeling, like the truth, like to be able to actually have a real feeling to be able to express that. It doesn't even matter if Adam agree what we're saying. He at least want to hear us out,
which is great. LeBron James, The Shop on HBO. Why do you have to go with the slave owner take? Why do you have to go with the NFL's got a bunch of old white men that have a slave mentality? What does that have to do with anything? This is where my struggle is with LeBron. This is not new. This is who this guy has always been. You're not having a conversation about the oppression of black men in the NFL. They were not talking about kneeling. In fact, Todd Gurley said, yeah, kneeling really isn't an issue anymore. It really isn't. Nobody cares in the NFL. The players don't care anymore about kneeling. Right? They got what they needed. They've gotten public action. They've gotten assistance from the owners. You know, my cleats, my cause. Like, nope, the players are not hot on this kneeling thing anymore. So you take that and you go into, well, we have a bunch of white owners with a slave mentality. That is just so, I'm not going to say I was offended by it, but I was absolutely wowed by it. Like, wow, where is that coming from? I don't understand it. And then, to make matters worse, Saturday night, LeBron, and to his explanation, I was just riding in the car listening to music. And for those of you who don't know, LeBron does not drive. He almost never drives. He has some guy that drives him. That's just the way he does things. But he Instagrammed some lyrics from 21 Savage, who's a rap artist who I think most people are familiar with. He's a pretty big deal. He's got one of the top albums in the country right now. He raps about a lot of things. He has a lyric that says, "We've been getting that Jewish money. Everything is kosher." LeBron Instagrammed that lyric. And this is not something new, by the way. LeBron Instagrams a lot of lyrics. "We've been getting that Jewish money. Everything is kosher." Well, it pissed a bunch of people off. And LeBron apologized for it. And here, his answer was, "Oh, I thought it was a compliment to the Jewish community.
Congratulations, but that's bullshit."
You didn't think this was a compliment. You really didn't. So my point is, who's going to call LeBron on this? Who's going to say, "LeBron, this is completely ridiculous"? LeBron James, between Twitter and Instagram, has 87.7 million followers. LeBron James is arguably the most influential man in the United States of America. And that includes Donald Trump, who, by the way, for some perspective, Donald's got 20.1 million less followers on Twitter and Instagram than LeBron does. LeBron's got the 38th most followers of anybody on Instagram at 45.9 million followers. So when he puts a story out that says, "We've been getting that Jewish money, everything is kosher," is that a problem? It offended me.
I think it depends who you ask. Frankly, I think if you're asking your generation, it's a problem. And I almost agree with you. I think, you know, that's an escape hatch to say, "Well, I post lyrics all the time, so this isn't any different." I mean, you're LeBron James. You are, like you said, he's one of the most influential people on social media, and it kind of works two ways, right? So when Donald Trump was going after LeBron James, "Hey, LeBron, you have a lot of influence. Go ahead and quote unquote fight, you know, Donald Trump, go and be bigger than him." And he absolutely went and did that. But it also works negatively.
But wait. What was he fighting Donald Trump about? Racial stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, because LeBron's argument was Donald Trump is a racist, which he's called him point blank. He says he's a racist.
Yeah.
And he says that he has an issue with NFL players because they're black, not because they're supposedly anti-NFL when they kneel. So what's LeBron James doing? Is he not using stereotypes when he says, or when he puts this lyric about Jewish money and everything is kosher on Instagram?
Oh, he absolutely is, and I think it's incorrect for him to be doing that. I think even it doesn't matter that it's a song lyric. It simply does not matter.
Yeah, it does not matter.
You're putting words on paper on social media, and they're offensive to the Jewish community. You know, this is no different from anything else. You have a responsibility to, as you said, you have a responsibility to be bigger, to be responsible, to be a leader on social media.
But he's not. And who's going to do anything about that?
Nobody's going to do anything about it, but I think he's not embracing that role as like a leader in the world, because he doesn't have to do that. I think he's got the responsibility to do that, but his whole mantra and Maverick Carter's mantra is empowerment. The word empowerment is what they live by. Empowerment for the black community. And I don't even disagree with any of that. That's not my point.
Yeah.
My point is that his mindset is empowerment for the black community in many different forums and avenues. And to go back to the shop, the only reason he's doing the shop is to give himself a platform to say things like that.
There's so much in that. Talking about LeBron James over the weekend, he said that, again, out of the blue on the shop on HBO, he wowed me when he said it.
You know, I mean, in the NFL, they got a bunch of old white men owning teams, and they got that slave mentality.
Why? There was no. Jake and I argued about this over the weekend because I encourage you to disagree with me on this because I know that you do.
Well, it's not. I want to be very clear. It's not that the Jewish lyric comment, I don't disagree with you on. I think it was a misstep by him. I think it was a mistake to put that out. It's one thing to put out, you know, great lyrics in a song that, you know, that really fired you up and that you really like that have nothing to do with anything racially insensitive. But that lyric itself is racially insensitive. It just simply is. The shop thing, I disagree with the idea that, you know, there's no reason for him to say it. He has all the reason to say it. This is the whole reason he's doing the show is to give himself an avenue to say things like this uncensored, allowing him to talk the way he would talk in the real world about things that people are talking about. And I understand it was out of the blue. I get that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with him talking about old white men that own NFL teams, because that's the truth.
But see, for me, that's how he felt in the conversation. That's where he went.
Not talk about that?
Because I don't think they were doing an entire segment or bit about, you know, the Colin Kaepernick thing that turned into the rich white owners thing that kind of morphed into where
problem.
We are.
Right, that's the problem.
But that's not for you. It's a problem for LeBron James. It's not a problem, right?
Right, like, because it brings people to his show. It makes people watch his show.
The issue itself galvanizes the community. People, the black community galvanized around this. They came together on this. And I think whether it's NFL players, whether it's, you know, the folks of Akron or Cleveland.
But am I the only one that sees that when you just throw out, well, old white men have a slave mentality?
Oh, the PR storm is massive.
No. Do you not understand that that's not talking about it? Do you not understand that that's not galvanizing the community? That's you playing the race card. When you've ripped Donald Trump repeatedly and you've ripped a ton of politicians and a ton of actors repeatedly for playing the race card, what are you doing? You're being a hypocrite, LeBron James. That's what you're doing. You're not having the discussion. That's what I wish people would understand this. They didn't have a discussion. He simply said, you have a bunch of old white men owning NFL teams with a slave mentality. Do you realize if he wanted to, he could have edited that out of the show? But he didn't want to because it did what he wanted it to do. It brought people to the show. But what did Todd Gurley do when he said that? Todd didn't say anything. He just kind of shook his head. What did Ice Cube do? Ice Cube didn't say anything. He just kind of shook his head.
So what are you insinuating with that, though?
Because nobody was ready for that. They didn't even have the conversation. If you're going to make the slave mentality comment, how do you not ask the black football player who's sitting on the set if he agrees with that? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, they should have asked. I agree with that. They should have asked Todd Gurley about that.
But you know why they didn't? Because Todd Gurley can't say that. Because Todd Gurley plays in the NFL. Todd Gurley doesn't get the free pass from his hundreds of millions of followers, his 87 million followers.
So isn't that why LeBron has to say it in a sense? Because he's not in the NFL, because he is LeBron James. Like we talked a lot about how he has a responsibility to be a leader, if you will. What if him saying this makes him feel like he is being a leader? He is saying things that maybe a Todd Gurley can't.
He may feel that way. That's not leadership. You know what leadership is? Todd Gurley standing up and say, yeah, you know what? I do feel like a slave sometimes. But I don't know that he feels like that.
Yeah.
Because he didn't say anything. Because guys in the NFL, maybe they are scared. If I'm Todd Gurley, I'm not getting anywhere near that conversation. Because you are one of the best players in the NFL and you're likely going to play for an NFC championship this year. You don't need the headache.
Yeah, and you haven't had any issues in your career.
Yeah, and you don't want to get ostracized. Yeah. And this is the Colin Kaepernick conversation. This is the problem with it.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick's not in the league because he did talk about this. And I think Todd Gurley knows better than that. But why did Kimmel and Ice Cube and the only guy who's like, yep, Maverick Carter, who backed up LeBron, because that's Maverick Carter's show. He's the only guy that backed him up. I think it just stinks to high heaven of hypocrisy.
So because he said it the wrong way, he shouldn't have said it, essentially.
If you're going to say that, you need to have the conversation.
Yeah.
Because it's not wrong there are a bunch of white owners in the NFL. The late Bob McNair, who used to own the Houston Texans, what did he say? It's a bunch of inmates running the prison. I don't disagree with it, but you threw it out there so that more people would watch The Shop. And it's a great show. Don't get me wrong. The Shop is must-see TV. This pissed me off, though, because it's wrong. And the fact that he Instagrammed, quote, we've been getting that Jewish money, everything is kosher, that's wrong. And why? Because he knows there's no repercussions. We're all worried about his groin today. That's the problem. We're past it. And it was such an issue, by the way, before I let this go, and I'm probably waxing on too far now. It was such an issue that 21 Savage issued an apology for the lyric. He said, I had no idea that that would offend people, which is amazing to me. You can stereotype the Jewish community, and that's fine. But heavens to Betsy, you stereotype the black community, and the world is coming to an end. That's my real issue with it, and I hate it. It bothers me. It's frustrating. Because there's just no place, there should be no place in our world for that. Yet there is. All right, I'll stop. Oh, hey, look, Andrew Skoll's in. He says, I hope you don't cry as much as this and get your feelings hurt when the Vikings kick the Bears' ass on the weekend. Not going to happen. Are the Vikings going to the playoffs? I don't know. Are the Bears? Yeah, because they won the NFC North.
Just a few more minutes before the Bears start kicking some ass, huh?
Good morning, Andrew. Andrew, you maybe we should watch the game together. I don't know. I don't know, man. I lift. I can hold you up when your knees go weak after that ass whooping. Bears and Vikings is one of the marquee games of the weekend. 6:39, Monty in the morning. 1580 and 99.3, the Fanatic. Don't forget GCU at San Diego Saturday night. 7:45 pregame, 8 o'clock tip right here on your home for Lopes basketball. Football at 50 straight ahead. Huge suspensions over the weekend. The college football playoff changed significantly. I'll tell you why on 1580 and 99.3. The Fanatic is Arizona's new home for sports.
Monty in the morning. Yep, Monty and Jake are back on The Fanatic.
You said you were leaving, and then you came back.
Lucky for you, Monty in the morning is live and local on your drive to work.
You get the biggest headlines and opinions without the usual BS. Monty in the morning on 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic and the Fanatic mobile app.
As I told you guys before, I don't really listen to the outside noise. My head is down. I'm working, trying to do everything I can to win a football game and get these players and coaches moving in the right direction. And I will say this, I walked in this organization with integrity. And whenever that time comes, I'm going to walk out with integrity. And hopefully that's 12, 15 years from now.
No, that'll be Monday, Coach. That'll be Monday. Monty in the morning, 1580, 99.3, The Fanatic, Arizona's new home for sports. Make sure you download the 1580, The Fanatic mobile app. Wherever you get your apps, whether that's iTunes, Google Play, just search 1580, The Fanatic, knock it down. You can ask Alexa to play 1580, The Fanatic. Yeah, we have the Alexa ready to rock and roll for you. 6:45, Wednesday morning. Hope you had a great Christmas. Steve Wilks did not help himself this past weekend. They got crushed 31-9 in the only game this weekend Jake and I lost in our locks. Oh, wait, Jake was on vacation all last week. The only game I lost in the NFL was the Rams. I said,
oh, shit, dude, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay, Jake. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I said the Rams would win by 10. I mistakenly thought that the Cardinals could. I actually got the Rams score right, 31. I said 31-21. I don't know what I was thinking. Josh Rosen is hot trash right now, so I don't know how I thought they'd score three touchdowns.
The score does not indicate how these guys battled. I thought they fought to the end. You look at the things that Josh was doing early in the game, trying to be resilient and just trying to find ways to make plays. Penalties got out of hand. We hurt ourselves on a couple of drives. And then the run defense was just horrendous. Got to find a way to stop the run and then also find a way to get off the field on third down on both sides of the ball. Got to be able to convert with our offense, and then defense got to get off the field.
Other than that, everything's fine. You know, we need a quarterback. When your wide receiver is your best quarterback, it's probably not good for the quarterback. Larry, how about that? How about Larry Fitzgerald throwing a dime to David Johnson? That was amazing. Anybody see
the Fitzgerald touchdown throw? Was that something you've had in the playbook all year? Or was that put in this week?
It's been in for several weeks now, and we've been working on it for a while. And Byron called it at the right time. It was a great play.
It was a great play. I agree. It was the highlight of the day, other than Ndamukong Suh sticking his finger in Larry's eye later in the game. Which, how is that so far under the radar?
Where did you even find that?
Pro Football Talk is where I first saw it. That's where I saw it. And it's one of those things where you're like, dude, how are you not cutting Ndamukong Suh at the knees? Oh, that's an illegal chop block? Bummer, bro.
Dilly dilly. Dilly dilly.
Right? Like, screw you, Ndamukong Suh. What is it about you that makes you think it's okay to stick your finger in Larry Fitzgerald's eye? And it's not like it was a quick poke. He firmly placed his hand inside Larry's face mask and jabbed, like just pressing on Larry's eye. You're a dick. That's what that is. You're a dirty player. Period. End of story. And I don't know, will the NFL do anything to Ndamukong Suh for that? Well, it's better than him stomping on some bro's head like he did. Just ridiculous. I'll retweet it again so it's at the top of the stack so you can see it. I mean, it's amazing.
It's egregious.
Yeah, find me on Instagram and Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. But I get it. This is not a talented football team. Steve Wilks, come on. You're consistently taking penalties at the wrong time. You are consistently lining up in the wrong formation. You are consistently in the neutral zone, Deion Buchanan. You cannot hold teams on third and even medium distance. It's just not, like, this team is not fundamentally sound in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, shit.
And by the way, you got to go to Seattle, 9-6, locked into the playoffs now. How about Seattle beating Kansas City?
I was impressed.
Impressed. Is Pete Carroll not the coach of the year? Who's going to get coach of the year other than Pete Carroll? I don't know. Some people would say Sean Payton. I say, well, that's great. They were supposed to be good. Congratulations. You paid your taxes. Oh, you paid your child support. Oh, the Saints are good. All things you're supposed to do, the Saints are good. And you're supposed to do football at 50.
Every hour, 10 till the hour, it's football at 50.
Let's talk football.
Let's talk football.
Ready? Break.
On 1580 AM and 99.3 FM, The Fanatic. Arizona's football station.
Football 50, 10 of the hour, every hour. Monty in the morning, we give you nothing but the biggest headlines in sports. By the way, one of the headlines this morning, Pete Carroll got an extension through 2021. They announced it on Sunday that Pete Carroll got an extension through 2021. Well deserved.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I think you look at where this team is at, and you know, there was some real questions and some serious doubts about them even being in the playoff hunt. And he's done a fantastic job getting them there. I think they've battled through injury. I think they've had a lot of adversity, but he's been able to get them to the postseason. And I think we have this discussion a lot around, hey, who's the best coach in the NFL?
Yeah.
Pete Carroll largely flies under the radar in that discussion. But Seahawks fans, you can look back on this year and say, yeah, this was one of his best coaching jobs of his tenure here.
Oh, totally agree. I think Pete Carroll earn that contract extension through 2021 when he'll be 70 years old.
And I like the term of the contract. It's not too long, right? You're giving him more leash to work with, but it's not like 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the right thing to do. Wrong thing to do would be to take performance-enhancing drugs if you're a college football player. How about this story? Earth-shattering changes to the college football playoff. Dexter Lawrence, one of the best defensive tackles in the college football, projected to be a top 15 pick in the NFL draft, likely done at Clemson. He tested positive for a performance-enhancing drug The NCAA notified Clemson last Thursday. Dabo Swinney, the head coach at Clemson, let everybody know on Monday. I mean, how do you make this mistake? And it's not just one. It's Dexter Lawrence at Clemson and two of his teammates, like backup tight ends. How do you make this mistake if you're Dexter Lawrence?
Well, anytime we have a situation where an athlete fails a drug test, you know, lately it's been John Jones, right? But anytime we go through this, my first question is, okay, what was the intent of the athlete? Because that will largely determine how I feel about this individual athlete. If this athlete said, hey, I'm trying to get an edge and I'm trying to get over the top, so I'm going to take this, okay, you're a dirtbag. You cheated.
Yes, absolutely.
You tried to get by.
Yes.
But on the other hand, I think a lot of people don't realize that these athletes are taking in so much, and most of what they take in is just given to them, like by the trainer or by somebody.
Yeah.
So if it was an accident, if they took something and didn't realize it, they're still going to suffer the consequence. But I won't view them as, hey, you're a cheater and a dirtbag the way John Jones is. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference there.
But listen, don't lie to me. Don't tell me that, oh, well, this was a tainted supplement. Nobody told me that this stuff had performance-enhancing drugs in it. Please let me play in the Cotton Bowl.
Go f*** yourself.
Yeah, no, this is not. This performance-enhancing drug he took, Osterine,
yeah,
is banned by everybody. It's banned by the NCAA. It's banned by the World Anti-Doping Association.
Mainly because it works really well.
Yeah, USADA, like every major body, bans this. It is not found in any prescription drug, and it is not found widely in animal products. So it's not like you can accidentally get this stuff.
Yeah.
You have to want to take it.
And that's an excellent point. And so I think in this particular situation, I do feel like they tried to cheat. You know,
yeah,
and
no
I don't
doubt
know
about
to be
it.
A fact, but that's what it looks like.
Well, Clemson defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence. It's Notre Dame in the Cotton Bowl on Saturday.
And by the way, this helps Notre Dame. I mean, I know that this isn't
immensely.
Their starting quarterback, you know, dropping off the table for
Clemson.
Oh,
he's their best defensive player.
Yeah,
There's no doubt
I know,
about that.
But that's what I'm saying. It's not a quarterback-level loss, but he is one of their best defensive, if not the best defensive player.
And the problem with it is Notre Dame is a run-heavy football team. They want to pound the rock right down your throat, and they're going to run right at the hole that they're going to have to fill with him. And this helps Ian Book, there's no question. And then there's Alabama. Roll Tide.
This was more disappointing for me.
Alabama offensive lineman Deontay Brown suspended for a violation of team rules. Didn't even make the trip to Orlando for the Capital One Orange Bowl.
Well, and I think this is really saying something, you know, when we look at Nick Saban in the morals of the program. Right? He didn't wait for the NCAA to say, hey, bro, you're suspended for drug violation. No, you're done. Get out of here.
Well, I don't even – I haven't seen what it is.
I would be shocked if it was anything else. Like, seriously,
yeah,
I
don't know, man.
Very surprised.
Yeah, I think it is – dude, you're playing for a national championship in Alabama.
That's what I'm saying. If he was late for curfew, Saban wouldn't be doing this.
And this is a guy that's one of the best interior linemen in the country. 6'4", 344. He plays guard on the best offensive line or one of.
This isn't Jimmy from Missouri
football.
Riding the pine, bro. This is one of their best players.
Yeah, didn't even make the trip to Orlando. That's amazing. Couple other stories in the NFL. What coaches should be fired? There's a lot of people who think it's a foregone conclusion about Steve Wilks here in Arizona, right?
I think it is, yeah.
What about Todd Bowles with the Jets? Oh, yeah, foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
Absolutely, he should be gone. What about Dirk Cutter in Tampa?
For me, Dirk Cutter hasn't handled the Jameis thing the right way. I don't think when Jameis came back from the suspension, he should have been the starter. I think Fitzmagic was doing a hell of a job. I know Fitzmagic isn't a starter in this league, but he was doing a hell of a job for them. So I would let Cutter go, and I would probably start over, and I'd let Jameis go too, if I'm honest.
What about Vance Joseph in Denver? They're not winning. They got embarrassed by the Raiders, the Oakland football Raiders. They got embarrassed by the Raiders. How do you not fire Vance Joseph? And then if you're this is the guy that should, but they won't. Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati. Love the guy. One of the longest tenured head coaches in football, but he hasn't won a playoff game in 10 years.
Fire Andy Dalton, too.
Never won a playoff game in Cincinnati. And yet you're not going to fire the guy.
It's not a winning culture, bro.
Well, and that's why Steve Keim's going to keep his job in Arizona. Shocking. All right, let's get you the latest rumors Who's the next head coach of the Arizona Cardinals? There's a name out there. Peter King says he knows who it is. We'll tell you next. Monty in the Morning, talking Arizona Cardinal football at 1580 The Fanatic, 1580thefanatic.com, and don't you dare forget to download the 1580 The Fanatic mobile app.